Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Hamad Beis. We're 6 lines from the bottom of the words of Shirim Daraisa. Just to remind ourselves, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara says that we were unable to learn from the Aron and the Kapores to learn that the minimum shir of a sukkah had to be 10 tfachim. So the Gemara says it really has to be. He learned it out from Malach Moshe Mitzinai. And the name of Rav, we quoted that shir chatzitzin and mechitzah are all alachah l'moshe mishinai. Shirim are the measurements, all different measurements, the kazayas, kseves, all the alachas we're about to get into. We're going to see them much more right now at length. Those shirim are alachah l'moshe mishinai, the alachah of a chatzitza, of a barrier, something that's a chatzitza for mikvah, something you don't want there for mikvah is alachah l'moshe mishinai, and also the shir of mechitzah, the ten tfachim, is alachah l'moshe mishinai. So the Gemara asks, is that really true? Shiurim, that's where we're on the 6 lines from the bottom. Shiurim d'reisininu. With regards to these measures, they're not halacha l'moshe mishinai. Rather, these are halachas which are explicit in the Torah. The pasuk says, Eretz chita osora v'gefen v'teina v'rima. The pasuk says that it's the land, right? We're going to come to this very soon in Sefer Dvarim. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising the land of Eretz Yisrael. It says it's the land of wheat, barley, right, vines, figs, and pomegranates. Eretz zei shemen udvash. And also it's the land of oil, olives, and honey, which is referring to dates, date honey specifically, which we're going to get into this shurim. And we learn from this halach of Amram Chanin, this pasuk is teaching us, kol pasuk azel shurim nemar. This whole pasuk is teaching us different measurements from these 7 shiva saminim, that are famous shiva saminim, the 7 things that are the fruits of Eretz Yisrael that are praised for. So these seven things, they're all teaching us measurements, as the Gemara is about to say. Chita lebayis hamenuga. So this is teaching you, wheat is teaching the halacha of a house that has tzara'as. This none, as we learn in the Mishnah in the Goyim tells us that if you have a house that has tzaras on the walls, the house is going to be an avatuma, and anybody who comes in it is going to make a rishon latuma. The psukim over there differentiate between if you have someone who is just entering the house, and if a person is in the house, right, a bala, someone who just comes in the house, as opposed to someone who's the psukim discussed, as someone who's there for a longer period of time, then not only is he going to become tameh, but then also, if a person is staying there, his garments are also going to become tameh. Now, what is the shear for how long you have to stay there? So that's what we're about to discuss in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Anichnas lebayis hamenuga." If one enters this tzara'as house, and the kelev aksefav, and you have your garments are being carried on your shoulders, you're not wearing them. And his shoes and his rings are carried. Again, they're not being worn. So both he and his clothing are going to come tameh immediately, because since you're carrying them, you're not wearing them, they're not considered your clothing. Rather, they're considered like anything else which entered the house. Anything which entered the house is going to become tameh immediately, as Rashi points out. That's again the din of ha-balabayis. That's something that's coming in. However, turning on to the next number now, hayalovish kelev, but if he was wearing his garments, visandalav biraglav v'tabosav v'etzbosav, and his shoes were on his feet, and his rings were on his fingers, so you're wearing everything the way you normally wear them, so then it's a malbish, then it's your garments, so you're wearing it, hutamim yad, so he's going to become tamim immediately, v'hein tohorin ad shisheh b'chadeh k'chilas pras. How long does it take to assume that what's considered staying there for a longer period of time? Staying there for a longer period of time for this halacha is considered the amount that is taken to have a kedei achilas pras. A kedei achilas pras is meant for eating half of a loaf. And now a loaf is referred to 2 meals. So pras, which means a piece, is half of that loaf. That's going to be one loaf. So the Gemara says, which loaf are we discussing? So this is why we're bringing down this halacha of chita, is because it's talking about chitin velo patsa orin. Wheat bread rather than barley bread. We know that wheat bread was considered maichal adam, as opposed to more higher quality, as opposed to barley, which is inferior. Wheat bread, Rashi points out, also could be eaten in less time than barley. So it's a longer time. It's a shorter time. Mesiv ochabaf, and only that, also, while he's reclining and eating it with a liftan, as a type of side dish that you eat the bread with, like a dip, like hummus or something, when you're eating it together. And both of these are going to be adding a chumrah, because Rashi points out, when you eat reclining, a person that's a normal way of reclining, you're focusing on eating, you're not going to start thinking about everything else and getting distracted, so you're going to be eating quicker. Also, if you're eating the food with a dip, apparently that also makes it, when you eat it with a dip, and you're eating it with something that's bringing it that way, helping you digest it, so that's also going to allow you to be eating it quicker. So, mesiv ha'ocha v'liftan. So, while he's having that, again, we just read that line over there, that while you're having that, is while you're eating it over there. So we see over here, that's the amount that it takes. So this is the halacha that we're learning, that one is extending to the clothing that he is wearing. A fascinating dealing that the Beis HaLevi had was that in the Beis Medrash, there was someone who was once, there was two people walking at the same time in the Beis Medrash of the Beis HaLevi, right? The famous Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's father, who Reb Soloveitchik, the Rav, was named after him. Reb Yosef Tov Soloveitchik, that was the Beis HaLevi. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva, and they were walking into the Beis Medrash, two people at the same time. And there was one who was wearing tallis and tefillin, and one who was carrying his tallis and tefillin to put it on in for shachar. So they were wondering who should come first, who has kadima. We know, like, if a person's holding a sefer, another person's not holding a sefer, it's more chashivas to let the person holding the sefer come in first. So who has the kadimas over here? So the Beis HaLevi brought a raya, to be holding an all shas, and think how genius the person is. He brought a raya from this gemara right here. Why? Because we see that something being worn is considered your malvish, is considered batal to you. However, when you're holding something, that immediately is considered something separate to you. So he says when it comes to the person holding the tallis and tefillin, it's separate to him, so that's considered as if he's holding the tallis and tefillin, and therefore he should be allowed to go in first, because the person who's wearing the tallis and tefillin is considered batal to him. It's not considered as if he's wearing it. It's like a malbush, it's considered as wearing it. So other achronim pointed out, maybe that's not so, because you're mekayim the mitzvah while you're wearing the tefillin, as opposed to just regular clothing. It's a different halacha, but there's a fascinating raya, nonetheless, for the Beis HaLevi from our Gemara. And just one more thing, we're going to mention all these halachas of Eretz Chita, Sora, Gefer, Tera, Rimon. There's a beautiful pshat from one of the achronim. I think it may have been the Pnei Yeshua. I saw this, and with this already, this is like the third time this Gemara is coming up. We had it in Brachos, we had it in Erevin, and now we're doing it. I think this is the last time until we get the Brachos again, that this Gemara is going to come up of the Eretz Chita Sora. So in one of those places, the one Achronim, I think it was the Pnei Yeshua, he says, a beautiful pshat, he says, it's a fascinating thing, that due to the Shiva Saminian, the Eretz Yisrael is praised for. And he says that we're learning halachas from the Shiva Saminian. He says that's why Eretz Yisrael is praised for them, because of how amazing it is. How amazing Eretz Yisrael! Everything's connected to the Torah. Everything's connected to Hashem. You know, such a much higher ruchnius plane. That why is Shiva Saminian so special? Because we learn halachas from the Shiva Saminian. That's why they're most special. That's why we love them so much. Fascinating thing. It's just a nice thing to think about. Eretz Yisrael. Everything is kadosh in Eretz Yisrael. So we're coming at in this week's parsha, we're going to be hearing about the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, how important it is. Okay, so that's anyway. That is what we learned. That's fascinating thing we're learning from all these halachas. What's the next halacha? Seora, barley. This time we learned in the Mishnah about barley. Etzem ki seora metame b'maga uvamasa. That if you have obviously a human, right, and only a human bone is going to be the size of a barley kernel, is going to impart tuma to a person who touches it or a person who carries it, even if you don't touch it directly, you're carrying it. So ve'ena matam v'ol, however, it's not going to be matam v'ol, because the Mishnah Olos tells us that only the mace itself, or rov minyan or binyan, right, if you have more than the 248 bones, or if you have chashuv things like a person's skull or a person's spine, those are things that are more chashuv, that's matam v'ol. Less than that is only going to matam v'maga v'mas, as we mentioned, only through contact of being touching or through being carried. So that is what we learn over here. So there was etzem kisora is the halacha of the barley, is that that's the minimum shear to impart tuma by touching and carrying it. The next halacha is gefen. What do they learn from the vines? The vines, we learned kedei revias yayin the nazir, that the size of revias of wine for a nazir. A nazir takes a neder not to have wine. If a nazir drinks wine of a revias, is going to be chayav malkus. That's the amount that he has, is going to be chayav malkus. Anything less is still aser of chatzis shir. We hold the chatzis shir machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. We hold a chatzis shir is still an iser deraisa. You just don't get malkus for it. It's more less chamer. That's why Yom Kippur. Still an iser deraisa to eat less than a shir, but we do pachas with shir because it's much less chamer than getting malkus. That's why we don't suggest eating more than a shir unless the person is a cholash shir. But okay, not going to halachas of Yom Kippur right now. We just did Yuma. Now the Gemara says Teina. What do they learn from figs? Figs teach us kegroras lahotzi b'shabbos, that the size of a dried fig is the minimum shear someone who takes from one rishus to another rishus on Shabbos is going to be chayav. For as I mentioned here, also the same similar halacha, that less than that is still usher. However, you're not going to be chayav mis on Shabbos unless you take a minimum shear of a gregoris, which is a dried fig. Why over here is it not a kezias? So even though kezias is usually a halacha that's suitable for eating, as we're going to see the next halacha about of zaysim, two halachas rather. So why over here is it not the halachas of zaysim? Because the Ritva points out that over here, since it's something which has to be not just eaten but also be able to be stored, that's considered chashuv to move it. You're moving it if it's chashuv. It's only chashuv if it's something that can be stored. So therefore, it's a bigger shear of a fig, which is bigger than a kezias. Rimon, what do we learn from a pomegranate? This time we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kalim tells us and discusses Masechet Shabbos as well. Kol klei balei batin. In a case of someone who's a regular a homeowner, not a person who is a, as opposed to an uman, as Rashi points out, we're going to see that an uman is someone who's more chashuv, who's professional, makes these utensils. Here's a bal bayis. So his utensils shirak ramonim. If they measure that they no longer going to come tamei, that if they were tamei and then they had a hole inside of this kli, the size of a pomegranate, it is considerably no longer fit for use. Once it's no longer fit for use, it's no longer going to be tamei. So just when it comes to tuma, right? If something is any level of tuma, but is no longer usable, it's going to lose its status of a kli, no longer become tamei, no longer susceptible to tuma, no longer become tamei anymore. So when it comes to, let's say, a random bowl. So if you have a shear of a kezias of an olive, so you'll still put in things that are bigger than an olive. You'll put in your dates because you don't want to waste the kli. You don't want to waste the vessel. So then if you'll put in something else. So then when it's a kezias though, you'll put it big enough that it'll kogeres, whatever, so on and so forth, until it gets to rima. And once it's the level of a rima, which is a big thing, and you're no longer going to use it anymore, then you're really going to not use it, therefore it's not considered a kli anymore. Shir and krimonim, that it's the size of a pomegranate. As opposed to, Rashi points out though, a kli uman is less because he can't sell it if there's a hole in it. Nobody's buying it. He's not buying a broken piece, so therefore he's going to be makbid even if it's a small hole. So therefore, for him, even if it's a small hole, it would no longer be considered usable, and it would no longer become tamei for the uman, for the professional maker of these kelim, of these utensils. Now the Gemara continues. Eretz Yishemen Udvash. So what do we learn from Eretz Yishemen? Rather, Eretz Yishemen, just take out the word vash. Eretz Yishemen, learn Eretz Shekol Shirim Kazesim. The left of Eretz Yisrael is that all the measurements we just mentioned, all the measurements in general should be like olives. The Gemara says, what do you mean? We just said Haika Hainu Dharma. We just talked about the fact that a Geffen is a Revius, Lenazir, and we just said a Seura is a Lashon of Seura Metav Magamasa, and we had Chita. What do you mean? We just mentioned three different Lachas, four different Lachas over here, of different Shiurim, not the size of an olive. So rather, Ela Kol Shiur Sakadaitach, Ela Emar Sherov Shiurah Kazaisim. Rather, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, the most Halachas. We know so many different Halachas are based on a Kazayas, right? The Kazayas is the minimum amount that you bench for, because that's actually a Darabanan. A Kazayas is the minimum your chayav for chaylov or maichal, so if you have a basar b'chalav or all these halachas, if you have kezayis, you're going to be chayav on all of them, and that's the general shear for many, many different halachas that we have. Therefore, it's rov, meaning most halachas are actually based on the shear of a kezayis of an olive amount. Now the Gemara Brachas Chorona has a kezayis. Dvash, what do we learn from dvash, which is honey, literally honey, but it's really date honey, meaning the shear of dates. So so what do we learn from dvash? We learn the large of the size of a large date is the minimum shear for which someone's going to be chayav on Yom Kippur. Why is it not a kezayis? We know all shear achila. Normally, when you have an iser for achila, iser of eating, is going to be a shear of a kezayis. So why over here is it kokseves agasa? Why is it over here a date? So that we point out because we know that the Gemara and Yuma talks about it, that we know that inoy, the iser of inoy is the affliction. The affliction is more than a kezayis. If that's considered a date, that's going to be, Rashi points out over there, that you're mentally more distressed when you have even that amount. If you have a kezayis, that's not going to help you with your inoy, with your affliction, so therefore you need a bigger shear to be chayav. So the Gemara says, okay, what are we bringing all from this? We see from Rav Chanin told us, he told us, all of these are going to be midaraisa from the Psukim. How can Rav tell us that Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai? They're all mentioned in the Psukim. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Mitzvah, Shurim, Miksivit, none of these Shurim, none of these measurements are mentioned, just these actual Shiva Saminim, Halachas, and these Halachas are all Halachas, all Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Across Machtabi Almahu, the Pasuk is just it's a support midarabanan. It's a smachta. Smachta means it's not a daraisa. The Rabbanan said this Pasuk over in a remembrance to the fact of what it should remind you of the din of Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai in this case. Many times, the smachtas are just teaching you what the Halacha midarabanan should be. Here the smachta is teaching you what the din of Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai should be. That's the whole shayla. How did a smachta come about? So there's a Maharil, that is a fascinating thing. He says that a smachta came about because Chazal, people knew that people don't listen to the rabbis a lot, so they knew that they weren't going to listen to their gezeros. So they said, no, really the gzera is d'oraisa. And they would point to a pasuk, they would show, like this pasuk, they would say, all these halachas are midoraisa. And they would, everyone would be like, realize, wow, it's a pasuk. And then they would realize, and they would tell them after the gzera was miskabel, after 50 years, whatever it was, they told them, by the way, it's not really d'oraisa, you should know it's d'rabanan, and halachas d'rabanan. Many people have a lot of problems with that. How could you, that's the Rambam says that that's an iser d'oraisa, to say an iser is that's supposed to be d'rabanan is iser d'oraisa. How could you do that? Okay, that's a whole shayla, but that's a fascinating shot. What are the smachtas? Most just assume the smachtas means a remez. If Chazal found a remez for him, that's what they told you originally, that this is the remez for the psukim in the Torah. So now, for the din, rather, that's something that's a halacha l'moshe mitzinai. Now the Gemara asks, wait a second. Also with chatzita, Rav said chatzita is a halacha l'moshe mitzinai. Chatzita is also the reis in inu. The chatzitza of a barrier a person have is also going to be an iser, is going to be a psul deraisa, that you're not, you're going to make fun of the raisa level. The pasuk with regards to matzora says that he has to immerse himself in a mikvah. And what do we learn? Shelo yeh davar chutz bino lebein amayim. There should be nothing between him and nothing between him and the water. And since we learn out that there should be Rashi says besaro b'mayim connected to each other, that we love, this is teaching you that his body must have direct contact with the mikvah water and nothing can be in between them. So here these seem to be deraisa. So the Gemara says no. Kiyasa Rav, when Rav says that halacha Moshe Mesinai, halacha Moshe Mesinai is going to teach you lesara, that teach you when it comes to your hair. That if you have hair and you have hair that you don't want there, you want something that's going to be considered a barrier for you and the mikvah. Rav Barachana told us, if you have single knotted hair really tight that you don't want there, that is going to be a chatzitza, because you want the hair to be that tight, and then the water is not going to come direct contact with the hair because of such a tight knot. So shalosh in a chatzitza, three are not considered because it's loose enough where the water is going to be able to come between them. However, shtayim eni yode, I don't know what the halacha is going to be with two. So therefore, Rabba Barchana's ruling is under the assumption that chatzitzas are going to be a problem. Rav is telling you that halacha of chatzitzas with regards to hair specifically is halacha l'moshe misinai. The body is going to be beferish based on this verachas is besar al b'mayim. So the Gemara said, wait a second though. Sa'ara nami deraisa ninim. Now we have a drasha midaraisa, very clear. Not halacha moshe sinai. Even a drasha midaraisa that teaches you that the halacha of chatzitza is going to be deraisa for a person's hair. I don't know. Let's see verachas. Virakat es bisarab b'mayim. The pasuk says he shall immerse his flesh es bisarab b'mayim. So es is sometimes a lashon. We have a drasha on es atafel of bisarab. Es is coming to teach you something which is secondary to one's body. What's secondary to one's body? You might need sa'aro, your hair is secondary to your body. We see over there that even midaresa, there's a halachic understanding that a chatzita is ma'akev. So the Gemara says, no, ki aisa hilfasa k'drav Yitzchak. Tell Rav Yitzchak, what did Rav Yitzchak tell us, turning on the next time? Dvar Torah, when it comes to midoraisa, rubu makbid alav, you have to have a majority of one's hair or any part of one's body, and also makbid, and you don't want its presence there, then it's going to be chotzitz. Then it's going to consider a barrier, it's going to be something that's going to invalidate the mikvah. In order to have it midoraisa, it needs to be majority, and also it must be something you don't want there. So over here, just to point out, it's very important. Rashi, we discussed this, Rashi told us before, we discussed this sugi as well, in Erevin, that Rashi says that Rav Yitzchak applies only specifically to hair. However, chatzitza on the body, even if they only are minority, they're not a rov, but you don't want it there, that's even midaraisa puzzle. Tosas bring many rayas that's only midarabanan. By the way, midarabanan, even though midarabanan, it's still midarabanan, amiot makbid, it's very, very chomer that you still go to the mikvah again. If a person has a miot or makbid and didn't realize when they went to the mikvah, they would have to go to the mikvah again, midarabanan. It's a very, very chomer thing about miot or makbid. But still, we assume like Tosfos that it's only darabanan. So, vichotis, which ain't a makbid, however, if you have something which is not makbid on in your hair, ain't a chotis, it's not going to be a chatzitza. The Gazra Rubo Sheina Makbid, we have a Takana Midrabanan to the case of a majority which you don't mind which is there, or also Mishum Ruba Makbid because you're afraid to get confused with a majority of hair which you don't want there because it's both Ruva your hair and you realize, oh wait, this one I did mind, this one didn't mind, so therefore it goes around all Ruvs. And also Miyot Makbid, also if you have a minor thing which doesn't take up a lot of your body but you don't want it there, like paint or something that's uncomfortable, Mishum Ruba Makbid. So in that case, that would be a real chatzitza midarabanan, and that's a gzera, and because we're afraid that lest you come to rubo makbid if you have most of the hair, and then you will find it that you don't want it there. So that would be something which we're afraid of midaraisa. So the Gemara says, wait a second, ligzer nami al mito she'ena makbid. Why don't we make a gzera in the case of a minor part of your hair which you don't mind mishum miyuto makbid because of miyuto makbid because of the fact of a minor amount which you will mind. You know, Mishum Rubo Shein HaMakbid, also with a Rove. Let's say Rubo Shein HaMakbid. So let's say you have a Miyot Shein HaMakbid. Maybe because of Rubo Shein HaMakbid. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? Ha, he, gufa gzira. Those two halachas of Rubo Shein HaMakbid or Miyot HaMakbid, those cases, if you have a Miyot HaMakbid, if you have a small amount which you don't want there, or a large amount which you don't mind is there, those are both the Psul Midrabanan. So that's, you're going to make a gzira for that. Vana Neko Venigs are gzira like gzira. There's no such thing. That's a famous concept that Chazal will never make a gzira to a gzira. That Isser in Durbanan, learn out from the pasuk, as Rashi quotes it, we learn out from the pasuk Ushmartem es mishmarti, that you should make a mishmeres, you should make a safeguarding around my halachas. My halachas means halachas midoraisa. Things that are derabanan, we don't make a safeguarding around a derabanan. So therefore, they would never make a gzera on a and a something which is only midrabanan to avoid doing an iser derabanan. So therefore, they only make a zera on rubo and a makbid and mira makbid because those two can lead to a doraisa. But if you have a miut in a makbid, that's not something that bichlal, there's reason to make a gzira on. There's a fascinating kasha from the Yeshua's Yaakov. He asks a question. He says, wait a second. If something which is midrabanan and your makbid, and midrabanan, and it's going to be a psul derabanan, which we just pointed out, even a validates one going to the mikvah. So doesn't that by definition make the woman or anybody who's going into the mikvah for this purpose is going to want it there midoraisa, because they're not going to, then it's going to turn into, let's say a rubo sheina makbid. If midrabanan, that's a psul, in which case I can no longer go to the mikvah, so then obviously I'm going to be now be makbid on it because the rabbanan told me that I'm not yotze going to the mikvah, so that makes it into a rubo makbid. In which case it should be really a psul midoraisa. There should be no such thing of rubo sheina makbid on a deraisa level, because I'm always going to be makbid. Once the rabbis have told me that it's not a proper way to go to the mikvah, midoraisa, I'm not going to want to go to the mikvah that way anymore, and it's going to be a rubo makbid. Fascinating question. So Reb Chaim discusses this. The Achiezer discusses this as well. Reb Chaim Oizer, so the big posik in Europe before the war, he was one of the gadol dor basically Europe before the war. So they both discuss the shaila. They have different terutzim. We'll just discuss Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says that at the end of the day, for both, Reb Chaim says that the chatzita midaraisa is only if you actually makbid on the whole roof. Here, you're not makbid on the whole rov, because at the end of the day, I don't care that it's the midrabanan, that's something else, but I need to be makbid on the whole rov not being there, and not when, in this case, I don't have that. Another explanation that's brought down, I think this may have been what the Achiezer says, that since the kapeda is not coming from you, you don't mind that it's there, you just mind because halachically I can't go to the mikvah. It's nothing to do with me actually minding that, let's say, paint or something like that, which a painter doesn't mind at all. A painter has a paint an after body, they don't really paint after body, so they don't care at all. But now you're going to tell me that midrabanan, I can't go to the mikvah, but yeah, that's only because the rabbanan said that. I don't actually care that it's there. So it says the Achiezer that the Achiezer suggested, I think he may reject it in the end, but he quoted that such an answer that maybe that's not considered makbid. Okay, fascinating din of that. So that's we learn from here that anyway we learn from over here that this din is the din of midrabanan, and that's what Rav was referring to over here, the halacha of Moshe Messina. Now the Gemara says mechitzan hadamran. When it comes to halacha of Messina, that's going to be the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that mechitzas must be 10 tefachim. The Gemara says, wait a second, but that's only good. Hanichal Rabbi Yehuda, we went to Rabbi Yehuda that couldn't learn it out from the Aron and the Kapuras. However, Rabbi Meir that learned it out from the Aron and the Kapuras, Michael Mimra, what's he going to say? What is there a halacha of Moshe Messina with regards to mechitzas? So the Gemara says, yes, there is. Kiasa Hilchasa, according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to have the halacha of Moshe Messina for le good. We know we have good. Good is used in a few different cases. We have good aches mechitzta, that when you have the, you can extend and lower the wall. That is, if a wall does not reach the ground, you can view it as extending down. And then we have the same thing, it's similar to halacha of sikra yorad v'sosim, the edge of a wall is going to, or a beam rather, is going to go down. So that's also a similar halacha. And then also we have a halacha of good asik mechitzta, that you can extend and raise a wall as well from good aches. So that halacha is halacha of Shomei Sinai. So, the lavud, also with regards to, when referred to mechitza, referred to lavud, less than a 3 tefachim space is considered as a closed gap. So that halacha is also halacha Moshe B'Sinai, bedofen akuma, and the bent wall, the schach that doesn't reach the walls, but within 4 amos, that it's a bent wall and it's going to be kasher, that's all going to be halacha Moshe B'Sinai. So the Gemara just says that really we have a way to learn, for even for a mayor, that there's a halacha of mechitzas, from the fact that it's going to be halacha Moshe B'Sinai. Now the Gemara says, "V'she'ein la shalosh tefanos, a sukkah that does not have at least 3 walls is going to be pasul." So as the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu, we learn in a brayso, "Shtayim kihilchos anushalosh is afilu tefach." That a sukkah can only, you don't even need to have 3 full walls. Rather, you have to have 2 proper walls. The minimum shear of the proper wall is going to be considered 7 tefachim, as we're going to see. So that's going to be 7 tefachim. The third one only needs to be a tefach. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Omer Shalosh Kilchos and Revias Afilu Tefach, that you have to have 3 proper walls, and more Machmer, and the fourth wall could be a Tefach. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? The Gemara says there's like 4 different possibilities over here. Micah Mifigi, what are they arguing about? Rabbanan Sarvi Yesh Eim LaMasoras, that there is a Eim LaMasoras versus Eim LaMikra, that you should be darshan when you have a pasuk with a word. For example, let's say we're about to have it. Sukkos. So Samech Chaf Tav is how it's spelled in at least one place in the Chumash. But really we know it's pronounced with a Vav. Sukkos, Samech, Vav, Chaf, and Tav. So how should we be Dorish the Pasuk? It has a Vav or not? So the first one, Rabbanan is going to hold that there's Eim LaMasoris, that the way that it's written, that's the primary way to understand it. That it's written, a Samech, Chaf, Tav. That's how you should be Darshan, without the Vav. And Rabbi Shimon is going to hold that, no, we the Iker way to be Darsh a Pasuk is Eim LaMikra. The way that it's pronounced is going to be the Iker. It's a fascinating thing. Why is it called Yesh Eim LaMasoris with the way that it's passed, it literally, it's passed over, transmitted, when it's not at all that way? Meaning, Sukkos is actually, everyone agrees that it should be transmitted with how you pronounce it. So what does it mean that the way it's written is the way you should be analyzing? It's just a side point with, what is it, Yesh Eim LaMasoris? It could lead, always why I get confused. Which is which? Because Eim LaMasoris sounds like you should always do it the way that it should be read, but that's not what it is. The way that it should be read is Eim LaMikra. The way Mikra to read it, that's the Iker way to say it. Eim LaMasoris, why is it mentioned like that? So, it's explained, I think Rashi brings this down, that, that at the end of the day, that, that at the end of the day, that Moshe Rabbeinu gave, he transmitted the Torah, he literally gave them the words. So since he gave them the words, that's why I call it Yesh Eim LaMasoris, even though it's not the way we pronounce it. Okay, so what does this mean over here? So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Savar Yesh Eim LaMasoris, Rabbanan hold, that the way that it's written is the Iker way to be Dorishit. So we have Basukos, Basukos, and Basukos. Three times it's mentioned in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Basukos Teshvu Shivas Yamim, that's the first time it's mentioned. Kol Ezrach Yisrael Yeshu Basukos, second time. Lamani Dersam Chiyu Basukos. So if you look at the Pasuk and the Torah on the side, two times it's mentioned without a Vav, and the third time it's mentioned with a Vav. So the fact that Sukkos is mentioned with a Vav, that's considered as it's mentioned twice, and then we have Basukos mentioned two more times without a Vav, that's four times total. Arekan Arba, that's four times, four allusions to the mitzvah of sukkah in the Torah. So we're dalcha legufa. We know one of them is teaching you the halacha that have to sit in an actual sukkah, so you're not able to be dorshin, because we're going to see in a moment, ain dorshin chilos. You know, when the first time halacha is mentioned, you can't be dorsh another halacha from it, because it just, that's for the actually legufa, that's the lashon of the Gemara, that's for the actual fact that there's a mitzvah deraisa of sukkah. So you, one of them you can't learn out. So we're left with pashul tlatal. We're left with three remaining, indicating that there should be three walls in a sukkah. That's what we're learning out. And since we have three walls in the sukkah, shtayim kehilchas and two have to be proper walls of seven tefachim. Vayisa hilchas agriyas lo shlishis. The halacha of Moshe Bessina told us that the third wall doesn't need to be a full seven tefachim, rather it can be only one. V'ukmina tefach, and establishes that it only has to be a tefach. Halacha of Moshe Bessina is telling us that the sukkah only needs to be one tefach. The third wall needs to be a tefach. Since the Rabbanan learned that we're teaching that a sukkah only has to be three walls, it must be the last one only has to be a tefach. Rabbi Shimon Savar, no, yeshim lamikra. We learn it out based on how it's said over, not how it's spelled. So therefore, Basukos, 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 it's three times mentioned, and each one is plural, so each one is really two. So Harei Kan Shisha, you're left with six allusions to the mitzvah of sukkah in the Torah. So Dal Chad Kar LaGufa, you should take out one, because that's mentioned for the fact that it's mitzvah of sukkah itself. Pashal Arba, so you're left with four, because the Sukkos is mentioned, each one is mentioned, Akilu is like a two, as we mentioned, so therefore you're left with four total ones. So what do we learn out? So then, we learn out, Shalosh Kehilchos and three must be proper walls. Asa Yalichas Agriyas Alaravis. The Halach LaMoshe Bessina is telling you that the fourth wall, Ikmuna Tefach, must be a Tefach. So you have three walls and then a Tefach. That is going to be Halach LaMoshe Bessina according to Rav Shimon. Now the Gemara says just another way to explain the Machlokas. No, maybe everyone, the Kuli Alma Yeshayim LaMikra, everyone agrees that the Irka way to be Dorish Apostolic is based on how it's said over. So really there's six Halachas to mention from here. Vahach HaBakalim, maybe they're holding Mar Savar Schach HaBayakra. Maybe they're bun and hold that we need a pasuk to teach you that the schach on top needs to be mentioned. How do I know that there needs to be a lach of schach? So therefore, you're taking away another limud, and you're left with only four allusions to the mitzvah of sukkah. So therefore, if you hold that the schach is going to be necessary, and then you're going to have only three remaining allusions, and that's going to have three different walls, two and a tefach. Whereas Rav Shimon holds that you don't need a lacha teaching you a separate allusion towards the mitzvah of schach, because it's part and parcel, part of the sukkah, as Rashi mentions, so therefore you don't need it. So according to Rav Shimon, then you do not need it, and therefore you would have an extra lima to teach you that you needed four walls. So the Gemara says, "V'ibais ema." Maybe we can suggest even another answer. The Kule Alma Yesh Eim LaMasoris. Everyone agrees that Yesh Eim LaMasoris, the way that's mentioned, that it's written, is ikroi to be dorishit. So then we're left with four allusions to sukkah, as we mentioned above. So you're left with four. So then what's the machlokas out? Hachamakli Marsavar Kiyaisa Ilchasa Ligara. The Halacha LaMoshe Messina is teaching you that we should minimize and diminish and make less the amount of walls that you're supposed to have. However, Marsavar Kiyaisa Ilchasa Lahosif, that the Halacha LaMoshe Messina is coming to add another halacha. So where Rabbi Shimon said that it's three and a little bit, he's really saying four and a little bit, because the halacha of Moshe B'Sinai is really coming to add. And now, one more Ibais Ema. Ibais Ema, another halacha, the Kuli Alma Kiyas Halacha, the halacha of Moshe B'Sinai is coming to teach you, La Gera, is to coming to teach you to diminish it. So then, V'yeshem L'Masoras, and the halacha of how it's written is the Iker. So there's only three allusions to it. So then, how do I learn that it should be four according to Rabbi Shimon? Because no, there's another halacha, Halacha B'Doshin Tchilas Kamifagi, as we mentioned before, might be something that's agreed upon by everyone, that the first time that a mitzvah is mentioned, can he be dorish something from it? That's the machlokas. Marsha v'Tchilas. Rabbi Shimon holds that no, we can. We can't dorish even the initial time something is mentioned in the Torah. So we're allowed to be dorish in the first one, and therefore we're going to have four walls, as opposed to Marsha v'Ein Dorish and Tchilas. Whereas the Rabbanan hold, one does not dorish Tchilas. The Gemara says, Rav Masna Amar Taimed, Rabbi Shimon Malchad, Rabbi Yashna, give another answer. Where do we know Rabbi Shimon? Because, V'sukkah tiyel atzel yom ha-mechor v'lemachsa lister mezer me-mata. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu tells us that the sukkah is there, is going to be a refuge from something. It's going to be there from the heat of the daytime and protect a refuge from storm and rain. So we know that something that doesn't, that what protects you from storm and rain? Only something with four walls. So if it's not something that that doesn't have four walls, it's not going to be able to refuge. It's not going to be something where you could run and stay away from the rain. So that is going to be learned out from the halacha of Yeshayahu. So that's what we're learning from the halacha of Yeshayahu over here. Now the Gemara says, where do one put that tevach? Amarav mamido keneged ayotze. You have to put it opposite a distant wall, that if you have a wall at a 90 degree angle, so then on either corner, to describe it without a picture, it'd be easier if you have a 90 degree angle picture, they have on the side over here. So on the side picture, if you look at that Rashi in the side picture, so either, let's say we're going west to east, so the southwest area over there, or the northwest area. That would be according to Rav. And Amar Leir of Kana Ravasi the Rav. So Rav Kana Ravasi said to Rav, wait a second, we have no connected Rosh Torah. Why don't you put the Tevach long wall on a diagonal line? Why can't you turn it a little bit? Turn it in a little bit. So the Gemara says you can't turn it in a little bit. It's similar to the middle one you see on the Rashi over there, the very top in the middle of the Amud, on the top of the Amud right there, right on the Parak Rishon. So there, that means that you're turning a little bit. So where it says, Shasik Rav was silent. So Shasik Rishonim, does it mean that he agreed on that question, or did he hold that there was refutation, he just didn't bother answering it? Whatever it is, it's Manami. So where it says, Amar Shmuel, 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 Amar Shm